We're two of the members of our team, and I've got, this is the disclosures they ask us to put in. And then I do want to acknowledge the other members. Deton Gibson is in public health. She now has her PhD. I didn't change that on her slide. She just finished it a couple months ago. And she has really helped extend us into the extension area. She works with the extension, and she helps us in getting into the counties, connecting us with the agents, and that's how we actually deliver the program. Also at the university and the academic end is Claire Zisa, who is in nutrition, and she's helped us in developing the nutritional area. Stuart Pope is also in nursing, and Stuart is a psychiatric nurse and has helped us with a lot of the caregiving, coping, and those kind of issues that's a part of our program. And then Linda Bird had joined us with technology. So the pilot project, which you're going to see, is in a series of development of our work, and the pilot project was funded by the Auburn University Intramural Grants Program. I think when I'm in an audience like this, I'm singing to the choir when I talk about the problems with the aging of America and the difficulties with the increasing chronic illness and the problems in the rural environment where the caregivers face incredible challenges. And certainly in Alabama and in other areas, we face challenges with transportation, challenges with lack of access to medical professionals, with lack of access to people who understand caregiving and who want to spend the time in helping them actually develop ideas of how to better meet the challenges that they're meeting. And they just have fewer support systems, fewer avenues for support areas. And so part of our issue with the working with Extension is to begin to help the local communities brainstorm ways they can develop greater support systems as a part of what we're doing. And that's working with the resources a lot what Emily does. Again, I don't have to talk to this group about the negative problems with long-term caregiving. And when I'm going to give you a little bit of background about our three-year project that we conducted before this, where we actually took workshops into the community. And we, over a three-year period, we took a workshop, 15-hour workshop on caregiving, into every county in the state. And one of our issues as we took them into the areas of the state was that the most vulnerable caregivers, the ones I really wanted to reach, couldn't come to a three-day workshop. We didn't have as much ability to do respite in a lot of areas. We tried to use it where there were areas that used it, that had respite services, but many of them didn't. And so it was really one of my frustrations. Even though we reached over 300 caregivers, my frustration was, I know I'm not reaching the most vulnerable. I know that some of the folks that need what we've got to offer. I mean, we got a lot of good early caregivers, new caregivers, and I think it was very valuable that we, and over time, they did demonstrate that they improved their knowledge, they improved their planning, they improved their abilities to develop their caregiving plans. But, and that was great, but I know there was a group that you know of working with caregivers, they don't always anticipate everything. They don't always anticipate all of the challenges and the difficulties, and that they need some ongoing help, and especially with the those with the vulnerable and dementia-oriented caregivers. So our purpose was to look at how can we get this education program into more areas. And we first started looking at it with a laptop and to get it with our extension agents and with the home health care. And then I said, well, now with new technology, it'll be just easier and quicker if we have it on an iPad. So we developed an iPad app that actually put the program onto there with all the videos and the handouts and all the different things were on the iPad, and it could be taken into and left with the caregivers for periods of time. And so we were real excited about the possibility of trialing that. We did have those that said, well, the elderly caregivers or some caregivers won't want to learn to use an iPad. And I still have had some difficulty even in trying to get further funding for this. The comment said, oh, you've got a wonderful background, you've got wonderful name, you've got a wonderful team, but we don't think it'll work. And I went, okay, what part of the pilot do you not get? But it was the biggest issue was they still had trouble thinking that the elderly people would be able to use this caregiving program in the rural environment, and they loved it, I mean, from this standpoint. So it was the Alabama Home Caregiver Curriculum that included all the aspects I was telling you about, and we primarily focused on the iPad application, was on meeting personal and health care needs, on nutritional care, on accessing community resources, and we did, in the area that we were piloting, we had specific resources just for their community, and so we developed that part of the application to be very particular to the area that we were testing it in, and on stress and time management, which we found to be some of the biggest issues for our caregivers. Here's what the front of the iPad looked like, and so you had in the ABCs of being a caregiver was the personal care, nutrition, the community resources, and caregiver support, and then we had an evaluation component that was able to collect some of the evaluation information we wanted on the iPad. So in the pilot, which this is a pilot of using this, we went to several home health care agencies. We had two that partnered with us, and we also looked at our extension partners in those two counties, and I'll show you where we piloted it. And during the pilot, we had over 50 rural caregivers that were able to keep the iPad for at least 2 to 3 days. I think some had it a little more, but longer, but they were able to keep the iPad for 2 to 3 days to be able to look at the materials. They also had a printer that they could print the information on if they wanted to retain, and then they were invited to be in the formal evaluation of the program. You can see the two counties, and both of those counties are low healthcare resource areas, rural environment.
Right below that in Lee.
Yeah, we're actually in Lee, so it made it at least an easily accessible area to get to for the pilot. And so of those that looked at it, 38 agreed. We had IRB approval to conduct the pilot, but 38 of the caregivers did agree to participate in the evaluation, and we looked at their demographics, their changes in knowledge and skills, and their reactions. I was particularly interested because I was trying to make the case that they would use the iPad, and so I was looking at their reactions to the iPad. And if you look at the demographics, they're very similar to our larger project where we looked at most of them being female. A lot of them were daughters, spouses, those kinds of things of the care receiver. They were mostly African American. I think it has to do with the area that I was going into. And Extension has a lot of contacts. I think sometimes there are stronger contacts in the African American community. So in several of our projects, we have had a slightly larger African American population than it exists in that county. Most of the caregivers that used the iPad were employed, and they provided care in the care receiver's home. And you can see some things about the care receiver. Most of the diagnoses were dementia or cardiovascular disease, cancer, the general things that you would think someone would be receiving care for. If we looked at the development of the knowledge and skills, they found that most of them did feel that they gained a great deal of knowledge and skill improvement by using the program. Just a few of the caregivers felt like they only gained a small amount, but I felt very positive that the majority of the caregivers felt like this program really helped them to learn and develop greater knowledge and skill in all the areas. On iPad use, all of them almost looked up more information. They all watched the videos that we have in each of the areas. The majority of them did print the handouts and were interested in keeping the information. And then the majority of them did use the resources and found them to be very helpful. So when you look at that, that was positive. I do feel like that some of the printing of the handouts, as I'll talk about, as technology improves, I think even now there's an easier way to send the information to a printer than what we had in this implementation. Again, they agreed or strongly agreed that it was easy to use and that they enjoyed looking at the videos and that they did have a little bit of an issue with sound. And that's one thing in the sense of listening to the iPad. I would love to do something that actually augmented the volume of the iPad. Some of them said they had a hard time hearing it. But they were able to read it very well, enjoyed reading it, and overwhelmingly they said this is a great way to learn and we'd like to learn more, you know, in this manner. So I was real pleased with that. And we felt like we had a good background to be able to make our case for getting, you know, greater funding to do this across the state. Overall, we think it did help them to gain access to the resources and that that using an iPad or using technology going into the home, having home health care agencies take it into the home is an effective way of providing information and skill building to these caregivers. They reported a moderate to a great deal of improvement in their knowledge and skills, and we felt that they did evaluate the iPad use very favorably. And so we were, except for some difficulties in sound, some of them had difficulties knowing how to print. Usually when the person came back in to pick up the iPad, they straightened that out. They helped them fix it and get whatever they needed. But during the time they were using it, some of them felt like that was might have been, we learned some things about how to do and implement it better. Any questions, or do you want to save questions to the end?
This question.
Okay.
Because of that, I'll give you a clap. And we have time for a moment or two of questions. This is an incredible example of what I would call an academic community partnership with Extension. And it's really interesting that what you say is they don't believe us even though we do it. I think Extension can help disseminate this as a tool. But are there any kind of questions that people get?
Yes. Quick one. Did you provide any training to your caregivers and how to use
it? Yes, well, I provided training on the individuals that were going into the home. So we did do workshop where we spent a four-hour morning, had the iPads out, taught the individuals who were going to take it into the home how to use the iPad. So it was like train the trainer. And so then those individuals were the ones that actually then took it into the home and taught the caregivers how to do it. But yes, they were supposed to. Yes.
Was it loaded onto the device itself?
Yes.
So they weren't connected to the internet and couldn't get lost.
No. It exists fully on the, and that was a dedicated iPad. It didn't have anything else on it. It was dedicated to just that program.
In the future, could they take the program and put it on the internet? So for boosters.
That's our plan. We had thought that if we could pilot this, that we would ultimately have the app where it could be downloaded from Auburn Extension for anybody. I mean, we wanted to fully develop it and have it available for anybody to download on any device, I mean, smartphone or anything. So we're hoping to continue our work and have it available to a greater number of individuals.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.